The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Just download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Say good morning to Sean Syed, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. Get more information at SumerSports.com. Sean, thanks for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much. You know, it's an exciting time to be talking Washington Commanders football, so I'm excited to be doing it.
Hey, Sean, I'm trying to figure out, so I'm looking at your Twitter profile, and I see that you went to William & Mary Law School. How did you go from somebody that was going to be a lawyer to somebody that's diagramming football plays?
You know, it kind of happened at the same time where I was very lucky to grow up playing football. I was able to be around some really smart coaches and just always stay kind of connected to the game. And, you know, even while I was doing some lawyering, I was certainly writing some articles on the side. Hopefully don't tell my bosses too much about that. But it was a really, really lucky opportunity where I was just continuing to study, whether it was law, whether it was the game of football, and got this really, really cool opportunity at Sumer Sports, where it's a company that I think combines some of the analytics that sometimes people look a little bit down upon, but then also really that football side to combine, where when I think about how, you know, some of our numbers looked at Jaden Daniels, you combine a company that is doing statistics with real kind of football work, and I certainly feel incredibly lucky, but also proud of my time at William & Mary Law, even though the law license, you know, it's getting a little bit dusty at this point.
Yeah. So I can relate.
So, Sean, I was checking out your Monday morning mashup on SumerSports.com and reading the matter meter. How much does what we saw on Sunday actually matter? And you said it definitely matters that the Washington Commanders can win the NFC East because of, you know, wow, the upheaval with the Eagles. We've seen Daniel Jones obviously struggle with the New York Giants, the Cowboys, their one CeeDee Lamb injury away, in my opinion, from just becoming a train wreck on offense. And you, in this article, you say Jaden Daniels is the driving force behind Commanders' excitement so far this season, and for good reason. Give us some of those reasons why everybody obviously is excited about Jaden.
For Jaden Daniels coming into the draft, there were a lot of questions, I think, in the public space. People were asking, does he take too many sacks when he gets pressured? Does he go through all of his reads? Will he be able to throw over the middle of the field? And what's been so awesome is he's answered those questions so, so directly on film, where sometimes it doesn't matter what he says in the interview room because he's showing you on the field. And it's an offense that I think coming into the year, I think people certainly were concerned about Cliff Kingsbury, but it is an offense that actually really loved the running game. I think Anthony Lynn, running game coordinator, deserves a lot of credit where you're using different formations and helping just making things more manageable, where Jaden Daniels is happy to throw some of those underneath throws if you're going to play off, but he's going to go for the big shot play after play. So certainly, you know, a stretch of the season that is going to test the Washington Commanders, but thinking about how they perform so far and how everyone else in that division, you look at the Eagles, they have a lot of injuries on offense. They have a lot of concerns on defense. Like you mentioned with the Cowboys, they're, you know, searching for some more answers in their run defense. And then also, as you mentioned, outside of CeeDee Lamb, they need to find a second pass catcher. And, you know, the Giants are the Giants. I'm from that area originally, but I think we see what's going on there as well. So if someone doubts that they can win the division, I would say, you know, I just don't think that's true because they really can push where they've shown that they can compete over and over. And again, they have a tough part of the schedule, but looking around that division, they're a team that has to be able to end the season on top.
Back to the Eagles. Defensively, they kind of have been up and down. What did you see against Tampa? Baker just shredded them.
Yeah, it was a lot of issues for the Eagles defense where they have Vic Fangio, who is a really famous defensive coordinator, and they were, you know, not able to cover long enough in zone coverage for their pass rush to get home. And even in the snap that they did, their pass rush is not really able to affect the quarterback that much. And then they move to man coverage to try and make things a little bit tighter, but then Baker's able to scramble. So their defense really all day was kind of beat up and down the field where they're scrambling a little bit, I think, where at that slot cornerback position, certainly they're hoping that their rookie Cooper DeJean is going to be able to fill in at the bye. And I think that Eagles fans can certainly point to. They had a lot of injuries on offense. They still have an amazing offensive line with Lane Johnson coming back. They have an offense, a great receiver room when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are back there. But I don't know, if you look at how the quarterbacks have played in the division this year, and you could certainly make a case for Jane Daniels at least being the second best quarterback there right now.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this, but he might be the best right now. I mean, the way he's playing, the things that are jumping out at me are the poise, the calmness under pressure. And then, frankly, at this point now, we've seen most of the throws. There were questions. They said, he only threw go routes in college. You talked about the sacks that he took in college. But I'm seeing him make, like, second and third reads, tight window throws, throwing guys open. Like, my only concern at this point is kind of the frame and staying healthy. But he's even evolved as a slider in the last few weeks.
It's so impressive, because when you watch a guy's college tape, and sometimes you just don't see them use it in a certain way. And now look, you think about Jaden Daniels, you think about how Malik Nabers looks for the Giants. If I had Malik Nabers on my team, all I would do is throw vertical throws to him too.
Yeah,
and you got
right.
Brian Thomas Jr. there too, who
right.
looked great in Jacksonville. So like, I don't blame Jaden Daniels for what his film looked like at LSU, but you do ask yourself, okay, is this because of the team? Is this because a guy can't do it? And I think you face that maybe for some other rookie quarterbacks, but he's just answered the questions so emphatically. And it is, of course, you know, you're 4 weeks into his rookie campaign, and he's hopefully has, of course, a very, very long career, but he's improved every week. You know, he's throwing just an incredibly accurate ball, which is translated from college. And I agree with you, where the poise in the pocket, the NFL game is so fast. Of course, you know, you saw tons of SEC defenses. Like, this is still a different game. And for him to be able to look so comfortable and I think be really decisive is something where if his decision making is good, he has the physical tools, and then you combine things outside of the pass game, also the run game. I'm glad you mentioned, you know, his ability to slide, because certainly none of us wanted to see Jaden Daniels take any more like Looney Tunes style hits. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that from Daniels, where look, you play the Browns, you're going to get a really, really good pass rush, particularly with Myles Garrett. I think we'll continue to learn more about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, so that's my next question, Sean. How do you feel about this game against Cleveland? Cleveland has scored 66 points in four games.
We should destroy them.
Washington's basically doubled that.
We should destroy them.
Cleveland hasn't played a real tough schedule either. I mean, they beat Jacksonville, and Jacksonville hadn't won a game yet. And then the last two games were the losses to the Giants and to the Raiders. But like you mentioned, this will be the best pair of ends that Washington will face all year with Garrett and Smith. Cleveland just can't score.
Yeah, and look, if you can't score, you can't win in this league. And Cleveland has certainly really struggled on offense in a lot of different ways. I think their quarterback situation is pretty rough right now. I think that they're kind of trying to find answers around it. And then when we think about the Cleveland Browns defense, which is very good, and they're going to even, I think, by some of the numbers, they're maybe a little bit closer to league average this year. When you have Myles Garrett on your defense, it's still going to be a good defense. So I think finding different ways, when I think about how the Cowboys treated the Browns, where you're moving the pocket, you know, you're just finding different ways to really, literally run away from Myles Garrett because he can ruin your game. At the same time, you know, I've been pretty impressed with this Washington offensive line, where I think coming into the year, I didn't like project this as a unit that was going to really impress me, but even against Arizona, a lot of those guys look really good, certainly in run blocking, but also in pass blocking. So I'm not saying, hey, let's play one-on-one football with Myles Garrett all the time, but I do think this is a game that Washington should win. And I think coming into the season, for me to look at this and say, hey, Washington should be favorite, I think that's really exciting. Just now, this is a team that should be able to compete consistently, where I feel very good about the offense, where after 4 weeks, I think you're looking at some of their numbers on really like a historic four-game pace, and you know things will level out a little bit. And you have some concerns about the defensive side of the ball, but I think that those issues may not show themselves against this Cleveland offense.
We're joined by Sean Syed, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. You can read his work at sumersports.com. So you talked about scoring points. That's the name of the game. It's how you win in the NFL in 2024. And no team was better at it in the first 2 weeks than the Saints. They poured 91 points out in two games. The last 2 weeks, Not so much. 36 points in two losses. How do they regain that magic that they had in the first 2 weeks? What do you see happening there in New Orleans?
Yeah, the Saints had this really, really great start against Carolina, against Dallas, against maybe defenses that aren't the top defenses in the league, but they did a really good job taking stress off of their offensive line, where they get against the Eagles in that week three matchup where the Eagles really just beat them up kind of up and down the field because the Eagles found ways to make them block one-on-one. And it's really hard to do that in the league, and it's particularly hard to do that when you have some holes at the offensive line. But, you know, I think Clint Kubiak has had a really good start where they're a team that is going to kind of get into heavy personnel. They're going to kind of pull everyone together and force you inside and then run a kind of a play-action pass, a pass past you. So, you know, you hate to have the Chiefs on the schedule whenever you're a team that wants to bounce back. We'll see them all together on Monday night. But I do think the defense in New Orleans is playing well, where they didn't even let up an offensive touchdown against the Falcons in that loss. And I think Derek Carr has shown that throughout the season that he's been able to be a positive player. You, of course, have a really good receiver in Chris Olave, someone in Rashid Shaheed who is really, really fast, but also just a quality player. So I think that, you know, you have to continue to pound through at that run game. Alvin Kamara has had a good year. Sometimes that takes a little bit of stress off of your offensive line, and that can help you set up some of those play-action passes where they're certainly hoping to get those back on track.
What are your thoughts on the Niners' offense? Looks like McCaffrey's going to be out, if not, you know, for a considerable part of the season, maybe for the entire year. He's got tendonitis in both Achilles, not good. Jordan Mason's been a really good backup, but he's carried the ball a bunch. So if he went down, they're relying on a rookie, Isaac Garendo. Debo's been hurt. Ayuk hasn't done anything. Kittle made an unbelievable catch last week, a touchdown catch, but he's been banged up. So, you know, they're 2-2, but the Seahawks can score, and the Seahawks lead that division right now. Your thoughts on the Niners going forward?
When I watch the Niners film, I'm really, really most impressed with what Brock Purdy is doing. You mentioned mm-hmm. all of those injuries, and for a lot of these quarterbacks, it's sometimes you can't take them out of the situation because it's not like all their players are going to get hurt. And then it happens to the 49ers, where Kyle Shanahan has to draw things around a lot of different players. So I do think seeing how Purdy is connecting with Juwan Jennings has like two straight games with these amazing catches. I do think San Francisco can continue to have a high-end offense, obviously because of their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, which I know everyone's so familiar about in Washington. But Purdy is showing the ability to operate within the system. But then when things break down, he can be a positive player. Now, he's not going to be Jaden Daniels outside the pocket by any means. But if you're in that system and then now you're able to add on a little bit. And look, it's fun watching quarterbacks grow. I think sometimes I'm a little bit hard on quarterbacks, just like, oh, I want them to get better. But Purdy is really kind of incrementally, it feels like he's adding to his game after game and over multiple seasons to a place where I just think the 49ers offense is still going to be good. Now, of course, it doesn't have the same high-end ceiling when you're missing Christian McCaffrey, who might be the best running back in the league, and you have so many guys banged up. But I do still think that from an offensive end, they're a high-quality unit. And then you have top-end players on the defense between Fred Warner, between Nick Bosa, who their defense, I think, has continued to fall off just a little bit by a little bit, but they still have stars that can end the game for you there.
Hey, Sean, if you are Shane Steichen in Indy, do you toss the keys to Joe Flacco with Anthony Richardson dealing with this hip injury? I mean, he's got a problem finishing his NFL games. I mean, the guy just gets injured a lot in his short NFL career, and we've seen Flacco. He did it last year in Cleveland. He comes in, and he has an immediate grasp of the offense. He just obviously looks better passing the ball than Richardson at this point. What do you do if you're in Indy?
I mean, Anthony Richardson is such an enigma because he will be able to drop a ball in a bucket from like 65 yards out, mm-hmm. but then it'll be a 5-yard throw where he will sail it. And it's frustrating because he can do things on a football field that no other player can do. And then there are things that most people can do that he is struggling with at times. And I really think this year is just about raising that floor for Anthony Richardson, where this game against the Steelers was pretty frustrating because he starts off really hot, throws a really nice ball to Michael Pittman, and feels like he's in rhythm. And you're just trying to stack good days for Anthony Richardson, where he just needs to be able to play. Like he hasn't played a ton of football since high school, and He obviously, you know, really one season at Florida and then had the injury last year. I wouldn't say, or I would certainly want him to get healthy. I wouldn't rush him back because, again, I think that the most important thing for the Colts, and the Colts franchise is going to be defined by this for the next at least 5 years, just how Anthony Richardson develops. And I think Shane Steichen, you know, he obviously put together a good offense with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. I think that there were exciting things about them last year where they were even able to put things together behind Gardner Minshew. But I just think you need Richardson to get healthy. And I don't know, does it mean that you run him maybe a little bit less? You know, you could say that, but certainly quarterbacks still get hurt in the pocket. So I just really want Anthony Richardson to get healthy because I just don't know about him. Like, I want that type of quarterback to be able to succeed in the league because we talk about there's the too high safeties and offense is down, but this guy can just throw straight past a defense. So I'm hoping that he's able to get healthy and, you know, that type of skill set, that type of athletic profile is one that I prefer to bet on.
Sean, not a lot of bright spots coming out of Jacksonville. Obviously, they're winless, but one of them is the rookie wideout that Jaden used to throw balls to at LSU and Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, he leads them by receiving yardage by, looks like over 100 by Christian Kirk. He's got 275, Kirk at 169. I mean, he's a full-blown alpha at wideout and looks like they hit on him. I think he was like the 19th or 20th pick in the first round. Got good value with him too.
Yeah, but when I got to talk to Brian Thomas Jr. a little bit just at the draft, because when I saw him at LSU, you know, he runs that kind of starting on one side of the formation, you're running kind of a deep crosser, and just talking to him about his route process, I was really impressed hearing that from him, and certainly a thoughtful player in how he's able to execute, and that shows up on the field, because again, we talk about, oh, you know, does a player's college tape show X, Y, or Z, but he can run a lot of routes. He can really run the full route tree, which I think has been impressive to watch on film, and certainly a bright spot in a situation that is just, it's really, really tough over there. You hope that he's able to continue having a connection with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I'm not sure if they'll be able to kind of dig out of the hole this year, but again, having that bright spot at receiver is just, it's such a good thing to have. And it just morphs how a defense plays you. Right? It really, really changes how coverages look. It changes how the defense plays against the run. So to have that impact early on in your career is really just awesome. For now, we've seen a lot of guys from the LSU offense succeed early in the season.
Sean, thanks so much for the time, man. We'll have to book you again. You were great.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yep,
thanks,
of course, buddy. That's Sean Syed, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. You can read his work at sumersports.com. Coming up in just about 25 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium. So stay tuned for your chance to win.